Blog Talk Radio.
Let me go ahead and welcome everyone.
Chapter 5, Consecration. God's promise is, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The whole heart must be yielded to God, or the change can never be wrought in us by which we are to be restored to his likeness. By nature, we are alienated from God. The Holy Spirit describes our condition in such words as these, dead in trespasses and sins. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, no soundness in it. We are held fast in the snare of Satan, taken captive by him at his will. God desires to heal us, to set us free. But since this requires an entire transformation, a renewing of our whole nature, we must yield ourselves wholly to him. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. The government of God is not, as Satan would make it appear, founded upon a blind submission and unreasoning control. It appeals to the intellect and the conscience. Come now and let us reason together is the Creator's invitation to the beings he has made. God does not force the will of his creatures. He cannot accept an homage that is not willingly and intelligently given. A mere forced submission would prevent all real development of mind or character. It would make man a mere automaton. Such is not the purpose of the Creator. He desires that man, the crowning work of his creative power, shall reach the highest possible development. He sets before us the height of blessing to which he desires to bring us through his grace. He invites us to give ourselves to him that he may work his will in us. It remains for us to choose whether we will be set free from the bondage of sin to share the glorious liberty of the sons of God. In giving ourselves to God, we must necessarily give up all that would separate us from him. Hence the Savior says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Whatever shall draw away the heart from God must be given up. Mammon is the idol of many. The love of money, the desire for wealth, is a golden chain that binds them to Satan. Reputation and worldly honor are worshipped by another class. The life of selfish ease and freedom from responsibility is the idol of others. But these slavish bands must be broken. We cannot be half the Lord's and half the world's. We are not God's children unless we are such entirely. There are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own efforts to obey his law, to form a right character and secure salvation. Their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, but they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them in order to gain heaven. Such religion is worth nothing. When Christ dwells in the heart, the soul will be so filled with his love, with the joy of communion with him, that it will cleave to him, and in contemplation of him, self will be forgotten. Love to Christ will be the spring of action. Those who feel the constraining love of God do not ask how little may be given to meet the requirements of God. They do not ask for the lowest standard, but aim at perfect conformity to the will of their Redeemer. With earnest desire, they yield all and manifest an interest proportionate to the value of the object which they seek. A profession of Christ without this deep love is mere talk, dry formality, and heavy drudgery. Do you feel that it is too great a sacrifice to yield all to Christ? Ask yourself the question, what is Christ given for me? The Son of God gave all, life and love and suffering, for our redemption. And can it be that we, the unworthy objects of so great love, will withhold our hearts from Him? Every moment of our lives we have been partakers of the blessings of His grace, and for this very reason we cannot fully realize the depths of ignorance and misery from which we have been saved. Can we look upon Him whom our sins have pierced, and yet be willing to do despot to all His love and sacrifice? In view of the infinite humiliation of the Lord of glory, shall we murmur because we can enter into life only through conflict and abasement? The inquiry of many a proud heart is, why need I go in penitence and humiliation before I can have the assurance of my acceptance with God? I point you to Christ. He was sinless, and more than this, He was the Prince of Heaven. But in man's behalf, He became sin for the race. He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. But what do we give up? Only give all. A sin-polluted heart for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by His own blood and save by His matchless love. And yet men think it hard to give up all. I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. God does not require us to give up anything that is for our best interest to retain. In all that He does, He has the well-being of His children in view. Would that all who have not chosen Christ might realize that He has something vastly better to offer them than they are seeking for themselves. Man is doing the greatest injury and injustice to his own soul when he thinks and acts contrary to the will of God. No real joy can be found in the path forbidden by Him who knows what is best and who plans for the good of His creatures. The path of transgression is a path of misery and destruction. It is a mistake to entertain the thought that God is pleased to see His children suffer. All heaven is interested in the happiness of man. Our Heavenly Father does not close the avenues of joy to any of His creatures. The divine requirements call upon us to shun those indulgences that would bring suffering and disappointment, that would close to us the door of happiness in heaven. The world's Redeemer accepts men as they are, with all their wants, imperfections, and weaknesses, and He will not only cleanse from sin and grant redemption through His blood, but will satisfy the heart longing of all who consent to wear His yoke, to bear His burden. It is His purpose to impart peace and rest to all who come to Him for the bread of life. He requires us to perform only those duties that will lead our steps to heights of bliss to which the disobedient can never attain. The true joyous life of the soul is to have Christ formed within the hope of glory. Many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to Him, but your weak and moral power in slavery to doubt and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections. But you can choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. Desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go, but if you stop here, they will avail nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to be Christians. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up your will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast, and thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. Chapter 6, Faith and Acceptance. As your conscience has been quickened by the Holy Spirit, you have seen something of the evil of sin, of its power, its guilt, its woe, and you look upon it with abhorrence. You feel that sin has separated you from God, that you are in bondage to the power of evil. The more you struggle to escape, the more you realize your helplessness. Your motives are impure. Your heart is unclean. You see that your life has been filled with selfishness and sin. You long to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be set free. Harmony with God, likeness to Him. What can you do to obtain it? It is peace that you need, heaven's forgiveness and peace and love in the soul. Money cannot buy it, intellect cannot procure it, wisdom cannot attain to it. You can never hope by your own effort to secure it, but God offers it to you as a gift, without money and without price. It is yours if you will but reach out your hand and grasp it. The Lord says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. You have confessed your sins, and in heart put them away. You have resolved to give yourself to God. Now go to Him and ask that He will wash away your sins and give you a new heart. Then believe that He does this because He has promised. This is the lesson which Jesus taught while He was on earth, that the gift which God promises us, we must believe we do receive, and it is ours. Jesus had healed the people of their diseases when they had faith in His power. He helped them in the things which they could see, thus inspiring them with confidence in Him concerning things which they could not see, leading them to believe in His power to forgive sins. This He plainly stated in the healing of the man sick with palsy, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith He to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. So also John the Evangelist says, speaking of the miracles of Christ, These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. From the simple Bible account of how Jesus healed the sick, we may learn something about how to believe in Him for the forgiveness of sins. Let us turn to the story of the paralytic at Bethesda. The poor sufferer was helpless. He had not used his limbs for 38 years. Yet Jesus bade him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. The sick man might have said, Lord, if thou wilt make me whole, I will obey thy word. But no, he believed Christ's word, believed that he was made whole. And he made the effort at once. He willed to walk, and he did walk. He acted on the word of Christ, and God gave the power. He was made whole. In like manner, you are a sinner. You cannot atone for your past sins. You cannot change your heart and make yourself holy. But God promises to do all this for you through Christ. You believe the promise. You confess your sins and give yourself to God. You will to serve Him. Just as surely as you do this, God will fulfill His word to you. If you believe the promise, believe that you are forgiven and cleansed, God supplies the fact. You are made whole. Just as Christ gave the paralytic power to walk when the man believed that he was healed, it is so if you believe it. Do not wait to feel that you are made whole, but say, I believe it. It is so. Not because I feel it, but because God has promised. Jesus says, What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. There is a condition to this promise, that we pray according to the will of God. But it is the will of God to cleanse us from sin, to make us his children, and enable us to live a holy life, so we may ask for these blessings and believe that we receive them and thank God that we have received them. It is our privilege to go to Jesus and be cleansed and to stand before the law without shame or remorse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Henceforth, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Through this simple act of believing God, the Holy Spirit has begotten a new life in your heart. You are as a child born into the family of God, and he loves you as he loves his son. Now that you have given yourself to Jesus, do not draw back. Do not take yourself away from him, but day by day say, I am Christ's. I have given myself to him. Ask him to give you his spirit and keep you by his grace. As it is by giving yourself to God and believing him that you become his child, so you are to live in him. The apostle says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Some seem to feel that they must be on probation and must prove to the Lord that they are reformed before they can claim his blessing. But they claim the blessing of God even now. They must have his grace, the Spirit of Christ, to help their infirmities, or they cannot resist evil. Jesus loves to have us come to him just as we are, sinful, helpless, dependent. We may come with all our weakness, our folly, our sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penitence. It is his glory to encircle us in the arms of his love and to bind up our wounds, to cleanse us from all impurity. Here is where thousands fail. They do not believe that Jesus pardons them personally, individually. They do not take God at his word. It is the privilege of all who comply with the conditions to know for themselves that pardon is freely extended to every sin. Put away the suspicion that God's promises are not meant for you. They are for every repentant transgressor. Strength and grace have been provided through Christ to be brought by ministering angels to every believing soul. None are so sinful that they cannot find strength, purity, and righteousness in Jesus, who died for them. He is waiting to strip them of their garments stained and polluted with sin and put on them the white robes of righteousness. He bids them live and not die. God does not deal with us as finite men deal with one another. His thoughts are thoughts of mercy, love, and tenderest compassion. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. Satan is ready to steal away the blessed assurances of God. He desires to take every glimmer of hope and every ray of light from the soul, but you must not permit him to do this. Do not give ear to the tempter, but say, Jesus has died that I might live. He loves me and wills not that I should perish. I have a compassionate heavenly Father, and although I have abused his love, though the blessings he has given me have been squandered, I will arise and go to my Father and say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The parable tells you how the wanderer will be received. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. But even this parable, tender and touching as it is, comes short of expressing the infinite compassion of the Heavenly Father. The Lord declares by his prophet, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. While the sinner is yet far from the Father's house, wasting his substance in a strange country, the father's heart is yearning over him, and every longing awakened in the soul to return to God is but the tender pleading of his spirit, wooing, entreating, drawing the wanderer to his father's heart of love. With the rich promises of the Bible before you, can you give place to doubt? Can you believe that when the poor sinner longs to return, longs to forsake his sins, the Lord sternly withholds him from coming to his feet in repentance? Away with such thoughts. Nothing can hurt your own soul more than to entertain such a conception of our Heavenly Father. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner, and he gave himself in the person of Christ that all who would might be saved and have eternal blessedness in the kingdom of glory. What stronger or more tender language could have been employed than he has chosen in which to express his love toward us? He declares, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she may not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Look up, you that are doubting and trembling, for Jesus lives to make intercession for us. Thank God for the gift of his dear Son, and pray that he may not have died for you in vain. The Spirit invites you today. Come with your whole heart to Jesus, and you may claim his blessing." As you read the promises, remember they are the expression of unutterable love and pity. The great heart of infinite love is drawn toward the sinner with boundless compassion. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Yes, only believe that God is your helper. He wants to restore his moral image in man. As you draw near to him with confession and repentance, he will draw near to you with mercy and forgiveness.
Okay,
temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come.
On the prayer line now.
Oh. just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen, amen, Brother Eli. Brother Eli, faithful, faithful brother. Okay, Brother Eli, we're going into prayer. Sister Tamika is trying to get on, so we're just going to go ahead and open while we wait on others. Because by God's grace, he said, where there's two or three on the prayer line, he's in the midst. So we just praise him for his blessings. So let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee, Father, because we are coming here to praise you and to glorify your name. Oh, Father, thank you for this prayer line. Thank you, Father, for your sons and daughters that come into this prayer line to praise you and to give testimonies and praise to your name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy, the mercy that you allow us to see this day, and blessing us, Father, that we can hear one another's voice. Oh, Father, I praise you, bless your holy name, Lord, that you allow us. You've given us cars to drive, roofs and houses, and that we have our own rooms and our cars, and we have bathrooms, Father. It's nothing but the grace of God allowed to build a home, Lord, that we can occupy at this time. Father, thank you, and we glorify your holy name. Lord, it's all because of your goodness that you have done. You have built and you have created everything that man could have. So, Father, we thank you right now, and we thank you for this prayer line. We thank you for the elect that we are able to put in our hand, and that my brothers and sisters can hear me. Here I am in Louisiana, and people can hear me all over the United States, Lord, and every country. Father, all they have to do is join the internet. Lord, you are good, and we wonder how God's going to reach people. Lord, you have allowed people to create these things, and Lord, you gave them wisdom and knowledge, and we thank you. We see how your word will spread. So bless your holy name. And forever, we thank you. In our Savior Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I just want to thank God so much for the blessing that we are here. Give me just a second, brothers and sisters. Let me play this song while I answer the phone by God's grace. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Again, there's some people can't get on the line, and if there's a problem, because Sister Tamika been trying to get on for the last 10-15 minutes and she's not able. She's telling me that the line is saying it's busy and she just can't come on, but she's on my phone. And by God's grace, I just offer the word of prayer. I want to thank my brothers and sisters. I see Brother O'Neill. Praise God. He's on the prayer line, too. I want to thank you guys for coming on and supporting the prayer line, because I cannot be on here by myself. And, you know, brothers and sisters, I just offer the word of prayer for God to bless us on this prayer line, and that he have given us all this wisdom and knowledge, this technology, that from Louisiana, from the across the country, over everybody can join us on this line, and God is getting the praise, honor, and glory, because he has allowed this to be a blessing to us. So we're going to go ahead and read the scriptures. And these scriptures, brothers and sisters, I wanted to read, and we can collaborate, we can talk about it, give you a word, but this my theme of the word for tonight is God love. You know, I wanted to talk about the love of God because, you know, he has given us so many years to get our life and our heart right with him. And he's still allowing us. He's allowing us to go through tests, the tests that we have to get it right. And now my blessing is that he has given me 61 years. A blessing and a time to be able to know him. And that's what it's all about, to live long enough to know God. Some won't make it. Some won't have this long, and others will have longer. So I just want to read. I want to read this first. Amen. My first scripture was Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to go through these quickly. It says, blessed is he that read it and that hear the words of the prophecy. Keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I have another scripture, and that's Revelation chapter 3. Let me make sure. Chapter 3, verse 3. It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what on thee. Okay, another scripture. These scriptures are showing the love of God for us. So let me go to the next one, Acts. And then I will open my brothers and sisters' line. Acts chapter 3, 8 chapter 3. And it says, Peter is first. Okay. It says, finally, be ye all one mind, passion one of another. Love as brethren. Let me make sure I have the line over. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courage. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lip that speak no guile. And I wanted to, when it says, I don't know if everyone know what gall means. Gall means cunning. And cunning means slyness, flawed, skims, tricks, deceitful, fraud, sneaky, slick. All these words, brothers and sisters, guys, they don't have no gall in your mouth. And I'm going to continue to read. He said, let him ensue evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and all who is that will harm you if you follow. Hold on, let me go back. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always, and give an answer to every man that answered you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. One more. That's Acts 3:8-3. And then we're going to open the line for our brothers and sisters. Acts 8:3. And it said, as for Saul, he made havoc. And the word havoc means dragged or forcible. He made drag of the church, entering into the houses and no. Let me go back. As for Saul, he made a habit of the church or havoc. It says entering into the houses and hallowing. Hallowing means drag men and women, committing them to prison. So Paul was dragging men and women out of their houses and bringing them into prison. So we see that these things will happen in the last days. So now I will open the line for my brothers and sisters just to share the word of God with you all. And now your line, I will open the line. Amen. We're going to open the line, brothers and sisters, for 631. Just be patient, brothers and sisters, and your line will be open. 631-552, your line is open. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Listen, good evening, Sister Leola, and brothers and sisters, and at the Life Prayer Line. It's a privilege to be on the line, driving in snowy West New York. It's a challenge because got to be driving in four-wheel drive because on the back roads it's not too nice, you know. Slippery slope, and, you know, if you go too fast, you know what can happen. So you have to be patient, and that what it's like an object lesson to me now while I'm driving, you know. God is saying to be patient, you know. Take your time. You will make it to your destination, you know. So I want to thank God for his goodness and his protective care and his holy angels that he has given to protect his children on their journey. Because we know the adversary, his ultimate goal is to destroy humanity. I want to share something with us about the urgency of the time that we are living in. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy that perilous time shall come, chapter 3. And we are living in that time right now because we see everything of satanic motive is being escalated. Especially we see the attacks on our youth in these last days in our schools. So much pornography has been promoting, and just the other day I saw an article from a news source, a video, it's not even an article, it's a news source that I follow called Project Veritas. You can type in that, Project Veritas, and they're an independent investigative group that goes in to look into all of the, what you call it, all of the follies that is going on that mainstream media is not speaking out on. So Project Veritas, they went into a school. When they went into the school, they put in a hidden camera to the dean's office. He was bragging to one of his colleagues about how he's using all these sex toys in his classroom, showing the young people all of these stuff. And they caught him on camera. He's a dean of the school. So we see what this devil is promoting in our school. Disney, Walt Disney, television. Keep your children away from television, especially these movies and these news media. It is a mind control thing. It's a mind control because they tell you what they want you to hear, not what is truth. And we know, as Sister Leola is emphasizing when she's reading, it's only man wrote the Bible, and the Bible is the standard for the Christian. Nothing that this world has is a standard for the Christian. Christ says, the prince of this world cometh, but he had nothing in me. Christ's life was a life of purity, and his ultimate goal was to do the Father's will. But we are in the brink of eternity right now, and the devil is using everything possible to distract and to destroy the people of God. But I want to thank God that many of us still are focused on seeing these things that is happening and sharing with the brethren that we have to know what the school system is set up of, the world system is set up of. A lot of demons is in our school system as deans and teachers. They are possessed because all of these things, anybody who promoting illicit sex acts to anybody, they are possessed by demons. So we have to understand what is going on. So I ask for prayer for our young people because we see the devil knows if he can get the people, get our children from their young, then he can distract them from the plan that God has for their life. And many, who you see are in prostitution and all these things that is happening in this world, many are take their lives to the street. Sister Leola can tell you about what's happening in Huntsville, Alabama, with the young people. A lot of them took to the street, took drugs and all these stuff. Because what? The devil tried to get them from their young. And once he gets control of them, it's hard for them to let go of this thing. So we got to be praying for our young people. We have to pray for even some of these people are doing these evil acts in our schools, so that God may change their mind. Because if the mind is not changed, the man cannot change. So I thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. And also, I've been doing some presentation on a Zoom platform that I'm on. We are doing a country living platform. They are based all over the country, and we have been getting some speakers to come on, and We are the Amish who become Seventh-day Adventists on the platform, sharing how we can survive through the no by himself. And this man said all his life he has been living off the grid. All his life he has been living off the grid. He don't know nothing about on-the-grid life. So he was telling people what they need when giving people practical skills. And a lot of people came on, over 70 people came on the last presentation. He has two more presentations, one tomorrow night and one on Thursday. And then after, two doctors of our church who are medical missionaries who believe in the health message and have been advocating to win the health message for over 30 years. They will be on the line before this month closes as well to share some important things. One of them will be sharing the top 20 herbs that we need to have on hand, an emergency kit with us. So I thank you all for listening. And I will share the link with
Brother
Sister Leola.
Brother O'Neill, please send it to me. I'm going to send it to Sister Tamika. What day is this? What day will they be coming on?
Tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. And on Thursday, 7:30 p.m.
Brother O'Neill, if I forget, please call me. Call me so I can get on. Yes.
What I'm going to do before this program ends tonight, because I'm driving now and it's like snowy, I will send you the link with the passcode, what people can use to enter. You can tell anyone on the platform to join. It's very, very, very informative. It's showing you life survival skills. When the light goes out, when no by ourselves, how you can do canning and all these stuff. He says, and he charged the people nothing to host these things. He said, right now he wants people to get out of the city and live primitive life as the people back then lived, with Walt Disney.
Right.
So thank you so much,
let me offer up word of prayer for brothers and sisters. Let me offer a word of prayer for Brother O'Neill, because he's driving in snow and ice, and may God, let us pray. And please be in prayer with me, brothers and sisters, that when we come together as two or three, God is here with us in prayer and in presence to be able to bless. And it says, as the our emotions and our thoughts come together, meaning that the power of God and the law of attraction move on Brother O'Neill behalf. Is that right, honey? Is that right? Okay. So let us pray, brothers and sisters. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom to come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we come to you, Lord, Father, knowing and praying for Brother O'Neill. Lord, we know that the highway is bad when the roads are dry. But Father, when the roads are full of snow and rain, it's increased almost 100% to 10%. So Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you surround his vehicle, Father, to give him protection and to give him safety to his destination. To he get walk in his house, Father. And Father, we also praying that you protect his car. Keep his vehicle protected, Father. And all, Father, protect him. Have your holy angels surround that vehicle and to keep it from anything, Lord, coming near it to tear up, bend up, or whatever the people do. Lord, give them wisdom. Help them to know if they drive safe, if they take their time, God sees the effort, and he will truly work it out for them and bless them to get home safe. Father, don't let nobody have they electronics in their hand, not paying attention. But Father, I pray for all drivers on the highway, but most of all your son and your child that's serve you. I'm asking you to get him home safe and keep him and protect him, Father, because you know that his work is not done. And, Father, we thank you because, God, we know that you love him. And as we just got through reading, the whole duty of God is to keep his commandments and to be obedient. And we know that Brother O'Neill lift you up, Father, and we know that he keep your commandment according to your will. So we thank you for your blessings. And we pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Brother O'Neill, I know that the Lord will bless, and he will get you home safe. And I just want to thank you for coming on to share with us that information, because that is most important to tell us that how these Amish people have did it. And you know what we know, brothers and sisters, God will have someone, because we know what the Bible says, that the watchman, if the watchman don't warn God's people, well, the blood is on their hand. So you know what? God got people out there teaching and want to help us to learn more what to do and to provide for us in these days. So I just want to thank Brother O'Neill, always on it. He always on it to help us to learn more. So thank you once again. Go ahead.
Leo, before you go, I have to pray for our ministry here, the products that we make and all of that, because that's what I went to do, to make some more products of our respiratory cleanser and booster that we give to people. And it has been a blessing. Now God is bringing the people to us now. So I want to thank you for that.
Oh,
and it has been helping so many people, telling us that they don't use their anymore for asthma, you know, all these stuff. So I want to thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. And I am grateful to hear this blessing. Now, Lord, Father, Brother O'Neill requests a prayer, Father, to bless him in his health message and his health job that he have, promoting the health and the herbs that he's working with. Father, you said that the herbs, the leaves and the trees would be for the healing of the nation, and that we are to make business doing these things. Now, Lord, as it is increasing and we know that the jobs and you are providing people to be entrepreneurs. So, Father, we ask you to continue to bless him and, Lord, and work it out that he would be able to increase this. And as you have said, you've given some talents. And some have made the talents double what you have given them. So, Lord, as you have trusted Brother O'Neill with his talent, Lord, we ask him that you multiply, double it, triple it, Father, according to your will. And we thank you for what you are doing. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray amen again. So we thank you, Brother O'Neill. God said that he would do it. He said all you have to do is ask, and he said, he said, you believe and have faith as a mustard seed, and guess what? That mustard seed will grow out to be a tree. So by God's grace, you are being blessed. Amen? So we thank you for coming on and sharing it with us, and I need to go and open Brother Eli's number, and I thank you for coming to share that with us. So let us hear from Brother Eli. Now let us give our brother a chance to say his amen. We're going to open the line for the next caller, Brother Eli, 857. We open in your line. Amen. Brother Eli, your line
amen.
Is open.
Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, my brothers and sisters. How are you today? I hope you are so blessed, my dear brothers and sisters. Sister Tamiko, Sister Miola, thank you for joining us. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Miola and Sister Tamiko. I hope Sister Tamiko is making it on this prayer line, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I'm praying for Lord, for Sister Tamiko, that the Lord will break every chain for her in the mighty name of Jesus. And I'm praying for Sister Tamiko, beloved mother, Sister Dorothy. I'm praying for her sister, Sister Linda. I'm praying for her beloved brothers and sisters. And I'm praying for her nephew too, Brother Anthony. And Sister Viola, I would like to thank for brothers and sisters. Lift me up in prayer. And Sister Viola, I want to say a day program is a Bake Off. Sister Viola, and Sister Viola, I don't know if Brother O'Neill, I don't know if Brother O'Neill want to be a part of Bake Off. Part of Bake Off is B-A-Y. C-O-V-E, Bake Off Human Services. And I want to say to Brother O'Neill, I don't know if you want to be in the day program, Brother O'Neill. I don't know if you want to be a staff member. I'm praying for you, Brother O'Neill, that you will be a staff member at Bake Off. And I'm praying, Brother O'Neill, that the Lord will make you move to Boston, Brother O'Neill, by the grace of God. God have a plan for you, Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill, wait on the Lord, Brother O'Neill. Be in Psalms 27, Brother O'Neill. I'm going to read Psalms 27, Sister Miola. Let me get this for him, my dear beloved. Amen. Hold on. Let me get that psalm for him, Sister Miola, for Brother O'Neill. Amen. Let me read that psalm. Let me read Psalms 27, Sister Miola, for Brother O'Neill, and I'm reading that psalm. Psalms 27, Sister Miola, Sister Tamiko, Brother O'Neill, open your Bible to Psalms 27, verse 14. I said, okay, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I want Brother O'Neill to be a part of Bake Off, Sister Miola. I want him to be a part of Bake Off, because Bake Off is open at 8:30 a.m. to 2:45. They open on Monday to Friday, Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill, they open Monday to Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 2:45. And Brother O'Neill, I'm praying that you will move to Boston in 2023. When 2023 comes, Brother O'Neill, you will move to Boston when it's these days. And Sister Viola, I want to do a special prayer for him at this moment. Yes, Lord. God, help me, Father, Lord. God, we magnify your name, God, this moment, Lord. God, you are so faithful, Lord. God, you are so awesome, God. You are mighty, God, Lord. God, we love you so much, God. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Miola, Lord, who is hosting, Lord. We ask the God to come bless her, God, in a special way, Lord. We ask the God to break every chain, God, for Sister Miola, Lord. We ask the God to come bless Sister Miola, Lord. God, we ask the God to come bless Sister Miola, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask the God to break every chain, God, for Sister Miola, Lord. Break every chain for Brother Ray, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless Brother Ray, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Jarvis to you, Lord. God, bless Sister Miola's husband to you, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Miola, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Miola, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Tamiko, God, in a special way, Lord, who is with Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. We ask God to give her the strength, Lord. We ask God to give her the victory, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Tamiko deliverance, Lord. We ask God to come deliver her, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to break every chain, God, for Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, break every chain, God, for Sister Tamiko, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Break every chain for her, Lord. God, we want to deliver her children to you, Lord. God, bless her children. husband, Lord. God bless her nephew, God. God, we ask God to break every chain, God, for Brother Anthony, Lord. Break every chain for him, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. God, we want to live from her beloved mother, God. Sister Dalty, Lord. God, come bless Sister Dalty, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Dalty, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for her, Lord. God, we want to lift her Brother O'Neill to you, Lord, who is driving, Lord. We ask God, allow him to drive safe, Lord. God, we ask God to watch over Brother O'Neill, Lord. We ask God, allow him to move to Boston, Lord. God, allow Brother O'Neill, God, to move to Boston, God, in 2023, Lord. God, we ask God to bless Brother O'Neill, Lord. Allow him to move to Boston, Lord. Allow him to find a job, too, Lord, at Baker of Human Services, Lord. Allow him to work at the day program, Lord. Allow him to work at day program, Lord. Allow Brother O'Neill, God, to be a staff member, Lord. We ask God to come bless him, Lord. We ask God, allow him to work Monday to Friday, Lord, at 8:30 a.m., Lord, to 2:45, Lord. We ask God, allow Sister Miola, God, to get the information, God, from Sister Tamiko, Lord. Allow Sister Miola, God, to get in the information, God, for Sister Tamiko, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. We ask God, allow Sister Tamiko, God, to text to Sister Miola, Lord, to tell Sister Miola, Lord, to text Brother O'Neill, God, that Brother O'Neill, Lord, that he will be a part of Faith Hope, Lord. Come bless Brother O'Neill, Lord. We ask God to cover him, God, with your blood, Lord. We ask God to watch over Brother O'Neill, Lord. Allow Brother O'Neill, God, to find a house in Boston, too, Lord. We ask God to watch Brother O'Neill, Lord. Allow him to find a house, God, in Boston, Massachusetts, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen him, Lord. We ask God to come bless all of us, Lord. Come bless Brother Akeem James, Lord. Come bless every single one of us, Lord. Watch over us, God. Strengthen us, God. God, we ask God to come bless everyone, Lord. Bless everyone, God, in the prayer.
Amen.
God, we want to thank you, God. God, we want to magnify your name, Lord. Bless us, God. Watch over us, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Bless Brother Akeem James, God, who's come to preach the word, God. Bless him, God. Watch over him, Lord. Watch over everyone, God. God, in the mighty
Amen.
Name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Sister Miola, don't forget to tell Brother O'Neill, too, about Bakehove. Because Sister Tamiko will tell him about Bakehove because they open at 8:30 a.m. to 2:45.
Amen. Brother O'Neill hear everything, Brother Eli. So we want to thank you, Brother Eli, for and praying for each and every one. And I just want to say thank you for lifting up Brother O'Neill and all of us. You know, God hears the prayer. So thank you so much for blessing us. Amen, Brother Eli. So, yes. So we got one more that would like to share. That's Sister Tamiko. We're going to have her to speak. Amen. Sister Tamiko, your line is open already. So can you go ahead?
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Leola. Thank you so much for opening my line. I'm so grateful. Praise the Lord. Thank you for praying for me, Brother Eli, and thank you for the message, Brother O'Neill. I'm so grateful to be on the prayer line this evening, and I'd like to share with everyone in the book of Psalms 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and with the harp. Praise him with the tremble and the dance. Praise him with the string instruments and the flute. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I have a song, if I can sing, Standing on the Promises. Amen. is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt are fail and fail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ my Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. And I just want to lift up all my precious, beloved brothers and sisters on the prayer line this evening. And I'm asking also for prayer for my family, my children, my grandchildren, and also praying for you, Sister Leola, and your family and your grandchildren, for Brother O'Neill, for Brother Eli and his mom Rose and the DACO program. Praying for each and every one of us because we need the Lord in these last days, as we could do nothing without him. He is the vine and we are the branches. So I love you all, and I thank you so much for opening my line. Love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Tamika, now you're going to have to offer up a prayer. And then we're going to be waiting on Brother King, because there wasn't many that joined us tonight. But praise God. And now I'm going to let you lift up the prayers. Amen. You can pray now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this precious evening that we have joined together, dear Lord. You said in your word, where there are two or more gathered, there you are in our midst. So we are so grateful that you brought us all together, dear Lord. We thank you that you love us all with an everlasting love. We thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that you said we are the apple of your eye. And we thank you, Father God, for all the prayers that have already went up. We touch and agree with those precious prayers. Lord Jesus, we thank you for always providing food on our tables. We thank you for putting clothes on our backs. We thank you for putting shoes on our feet. We thank you for the car you provide for each and every one of us, our children, and all of our loved ones. We thank you for the homes you provide for each and every one of us, dear Lord. So many don't have a place to live. They're living out on the street, or they're living under bridge and tunnels and alleyways. So we are just so grateful for everything, Father God, that you do and say for each and every one of us. We thank you for providing everything according to your riches and your glory through Christ Jesus. So, Father God, we are asking for forgiveness of all our sins, Father God. As I stand in the gap for everyone on this prayer line this evening, we claim Psalm 51, 10 through 12. Please create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew within us a right spirit. And do not cast us away from your presence, Lord. And do not take your Holy Spirit from us, but restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us by your generous spirit, Lord. We need you, Lord Jesus, in these last days, every hour, every minute, every second, as we could do nothing without you, Lord. So I lift up my precious sister who's hosting the prayer line tonight, Sister Leola, and her husband, Brother Ray. Continue to bless God and keep them safe and well, Lord. I lift up her children, Nicole and Jarvis, and her grandchildren, dear Lord. Continue to be with them. Cover them under your blood, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, but you will cover them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Keep them safe and protected at all times, Lord. Give them an extra portion of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we're also lifting up Brother O'Neill and his family. Continue to bless God and keep him, give him safe travel and mercies to and fro. Watch his going in and his going out. We ask that you place a hedge of holy guardian angels of protection round about him to keep him safe and protected, dear Lord. We know the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. So we're asking that you keep him safe, Father God. We ask that you sustain him and strengthen him, Father God. Walk with him along life's narrow ways. Be his rock and his fortress and his strong tower. And we will be sure to give you all praise and honor and glory because you're so worthy to be praised, Lord. Heavenly Father, we are also lifting up Brother Eli and his mom, Rose. We're praying for his friends as well at the DACO program. We're praying for Brother Javel, Brother Jahari, Brother Jamal, Brother Dylan, Brother Troy, Brother Keon and his family as well. We lift them all up on your precious throne of grace as we are praying in spirit and in truth. Dear Lord, we ask that you hear our cry and hear our help for Brother Eli. Dear Lord, his heart desires to move to the third floor. So we ask that you make a way for him where there seems to be no way. We ask that you open up doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. Help Brother Eli to please move to the third floor so that he can be happy and content and away from the problems, dear Lord, that the other students are causing problems to him. So we know, Father God, you hear our cry for help. Dear Lord, we know that you will help Brother Eli as he is a faithful and loyal servant of yours. Dear Lord, he is a child of the King. We thank you so much for your love, dear Lord. We thank you for bringing us all together again, and we thank you for what you're going to do for Brother Eli in advance, Father God. We praise your great and holy name. We bless your great and holy name. We magnify your great and holy name. Dear Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You are the Prince of Peace. You are our Messiah. You are Emmanuel. God is with us. Lord, we love you. Dear Lord, and Lord, we worship you this precious evening together as brothers and sisters on this line to do your will, not our will, but let thy will be done in each and every one of our lives. Heavenly Father, we need you each and every day. Dear Lord, we also are claiming Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Dear Lord, may we never forget to put on the armor of God because the enemy is attacking your children. Heavenly Father, your warriors prepare for battle today and every day. Today we claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. In the name of Jesus, we put on the girdle of truth. May we stand firm in the truth of your word, so we will not be victims of Satan's lies. In the name of Jesus, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard all our hearts from all evil, so we will remain pure and holy, protected under the precious blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we put on the shoes of peace. May we stand firm in the good news of the gospel, so that your peace will shine through each and every one of us, and we may be a light to all that we encounter. In the name of Jesus, we take the shield of faith. May we be ready for Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit, so we will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. And in the name of Jesus, we put on the helmet of salvation. May we keep our minds focused on you so that Satan will not have a stronghold on our thoughts. In the mighty name of Jesus, we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Holy Bible. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in our hands so we can expose the tempting words of Satan. And by faith, your warriors, your soldiers, we have put on the whole armor of God. And we are prepared to live this new day and this new year in spiritual victory. So we just want to thank you, Father God, for everything you have done for each and every one of us. We love you, Lord. We trust in you and we believe in you. We stand on your promises. We thank you for each and every one of us today. Lord, we just want to lift up the youth. They are lost and we're praying that they will come to their senses, Father God, and they will seek you first while you yet may be found. We ask that you give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let the Holy Spirit be their teacher and their guide. We lift up the nation. We lift up the sick, the homeless, the poor, and the lame. Be with each and every one of us, Father God. We also lift up the nurses, the doctors, the lawyers, and the teachers. Bless them, Father God. Strengthen and place a hedge of holy guardian angels of protection around about them, Father God. I lift up also Sister Brenda and Brother John and their grandchildren. Dear Lord, protect them and strengthen them, dear Lord. Let them see your love, dear Lord. Be around them, Father God. Place the blood of Jesus over their doorposts, over their window posts, and over every area of their home, and keep them safe and well at all times. Heavenly Father, I lift up my family as well. I lift up my children, my grandchildren, my mom, and my siblings. Continue to strengthen them and draw them closer to you in these last days as we all need you. Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister Powell and Alex Nation. Continue to bless her ministry. Bless her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and bless all of her precious Jews in Jamaica, dear Lord. Bless Alex Nation and bless the Williams family as they are soon to be finished working on their home, that they will have a place to live, and they will shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You have provided us a home to live in, and we are so grateful. Dear Lord, we thank you for what you're doing to them. May you multiply their donations, multiply everything for them, dear Lord, because you own a cattle on a thousand hills, dear Lord. You own all the silver and gold. There's nothing that our God cannot do. We thank you for every single person on this prayer line. We lift up Sister Stephanie and her children, KJ and Kasha. Father God, we lift up Brother Akeem James. Be with him and strengthen him as he conducts the prayer line. As he will be bringing the sermon forth for us. We thank you, Father, dear Lord. And we leave now in your precious care and keeping and the precious and matchless and mighty name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray always with praise and thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Brother, our brother here, Brother Akeem, is here on the prayer line, and we want to thank God for him. And we're just going to say a short prayer, Father. Once again, we come to thank you for the speaker that will be bringing your message. And we ask him that you bless the word and bless him, Father, as he bring the word to us for the Holy Spirit to teach us, lead and guide us, and give us the wisdom and knowledge that we may understand your word. Father, we thank you. And all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Brother Akeem, you are welcome to Advent Light Ministry to bring us the word. And brothers and sisters, our speaker is Brother Akeem James, and God bless you, my brother, as you bring the word to us. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. Okay, so glad to be back on with you all this evening. And as was mentioned, we'll be continuing in our understanding of the Godhead. So thank you once again for having me back on. And we'll do a little recap after we say one more word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your blessings. Strengthen our hearts and minds. Draw us ever closer to you. Draw us ever closer to Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So, one of the texts that we'll be going to today is that of John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And as we look at that text, speaking of Christ contextually, we'll see some of the things that it reveals to him, and then we'll also be looking at certain statements from the spirit of prophecy as well. So let's look at John chapter 1. We're going to go from John to Revelation, but John chapter 1 verse 1 is where we're starting. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now it's very interesting. The word in this text, in the original Greek language in which John was writing, we are reading it in English, but the New Testament was translated from the original Greek that was used in Jesus' time. In the Old Testament, the majority of the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, and there were certain parts that were written in Aramaic, for example, in the book of Daniel. But as we're reading in the New Testament, the majority of it was originally written in Greek, in the Greek that was spoken in that day. And the word there in John chapter 1 and verse 1 is the Greek word logos. Now it's very powerful, friends, because that word logos literally means all of the laws that hold the universe in place. That's what it means. All of the laws that were set in place to hold the universe intact. And I find it very interesting that when it refers to this individual called whoever it is, that this person is called the Logos of the universe. In other words, and the way that we know it's a person is because check out what it says here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, that is the Logos, was with God. But look at this. That word with there literally means facing towards. So it's not only that the Word was in the beginning, but the Word was with God, meaning facing toward Him. Indication of a relationship here. But not just that, the way that we know that we're talking about a person here. So we're not just talking about the universal principles that govern the universe, but the person that set up the universal principles. How do we know that? Because it says not only was the Word with God, but friends, the Word was a living being. The Word was God. And friends, we know that God is not an inanimate object. God is not a non-living thing. God is a living being. God is alive. And so it's powerful to see that here, because what the Bible is revealing to us here is that there are two beings in John chapter 1 and verse 1 called God. Do you see it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with another. The Word was with another individual called God. But that same Word that was with another individual called God was also God. So in a sense, we're seeing what we're seeing here, and we know that that God that the Word was with, we understand that to be God the Father. But this Word was also with God the Father, and that Word that was with God the Father is also called God. I pray that you're seeing what I'm saying, friends, because it says, and the Word was God. So it was not only that the Word was with a being called God, the Word was also God himself. So friends, the reason that this is crucial is that we're learning three things here. Just in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, for the Word to be there, notice it doesn't say, in the beginning the Word began to be. It rather states, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, when the beginning began, the Word was already there. And we found that out last week. This is why Christ could be called the firstborn of creation. And we found out last week that that means he is the initiator. He is the beginner of creation. Not that he was created, but he initiates all creation. Therefore, that automatically means he had to be before creation. In order to initiate it, you have to be before it. Hence, it states here, in the beginning, the Word was. In other words, the Word was already there when the beginning started. So he was there before the beginning, initiating the beginning. That's one. Two, the Word was with God. The Word with there, meaning in relationship with, towards, facing towards. So this Word was in relationship with God the Father. But not only was this Word in relationship with God the Father, this Word was also God. Hence it says, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And now notice what it says about this Word. Check this out. It says, all things were made by this Word. And without him, that is the Logos, the Word, was not anything made that was made. Now look at this, friends. This is powerful. It says, in this Word was life, and that life was the light of men. Friends, do you see that? That's really powerful, because what it's revealing to us here, when it says in this Word was life, it means in this Word, this Logos, this being that was not just with God, but was also God, in this being was life itself, meaning that this being is the source of life. So it's not just that God the Father is the source of life. The Word is the source of life. That Word has life in itself. And friends, We'll find out just what that means as we continue studying this evening. This is really powerful. So we're noticing, whoa, okay, this word was with God. He had a relationship with God. He was there before the beginning began, and this word was is also God. But who is this? Who is this talking about? Skip down to verse 14. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and the word, this same Logos, the same one who is the initiator of all the principles that govern the universe, that hold the worlds intact. Friends, who was it? Look at this. It says, and the word, this Logos, was made flesh, was made human. You already know who we're talking about. And dwelt among us. That is the word there, dwelt, meaning to tabernacle. It says among us. And we, so it's alluding to the Old Testament sanctuary system. The Old Testament sanctuary system was how God dwelt with humanity. Not by coincidence, the Old Testament sanctuary, do you know what its covering was? The covering was actually skin. Animals, the skin of a clean animal. That was the covering of the very tabernacle. And in the very holy place of that tabernacle dwelt the divinity, the divine presence of God. So divinity dwelling under flesh. That was what the tabernacle was. And now we see what it was pointing forward to. It was pointing forward to when one would come, when the Word, God, would come in the flesh and dwell in that human flesh. Divinity dwelling in human flesh. Now it continues and it says, and we beheld his glory. Of course we can behold it now, because it was dwelling under the veil of flesh. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now notice what it says. Notice what it says about this word. The word is the only begotten of the Father. This is very interesting. Powerful statement here. The word is the only begotten of the Father. Now, that should already give you a clue as to who we're talking about, because only one is the only begotten of the Father. If you go down to John chapter, or skip over a few pages to John chapter 3, we now learn who this word is. John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus concerning himself says, for God, that is the Father, so loved the world that he gave, look at the wording, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what we're seeing here is that the word in John chapter 1, that Logos, the one who holds in place and sets in place all the universal principles, that one who is not just dwelling with the Father, but who holds the same status as the Father, the status of God, that same word became human, and he is described as the only begotten. Okay, but who is the only begotten? Christ says to Nicodemus, I am the only begotten. So friends, the word, do you see who he is? The word is none other than Christ himself, the Son of God, the one who came down from heaven and took on the garb of human flesh, the one, the same one who is the initiator of all the universal principles that govern worlds and holds them in place, the one who is not only in communion with the Father from all eternity, as we saw last week, but also was there before the beginning of any universal principle began. That one became flesh. And this is why it's so powerful, because I always wondered, what does this text mean when it says in Colossians chapter 1, check this out, Colossians chapter 1, and it states this specifically in verse 17, speaking of Christ. It says, speaking of Christ in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, and I'll actually read it from verse 16. Speaking of Christ, it says, for by him, reiterating what we read in John, it says, for by him were all things created. We just read that in John chapter 1. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. But notice what it says here. How are all these things held in place? Look at what it says in verse 17. And he is before all things. We just read that in John chapter 1. And by him, the Logos, all things are held together. That is, all things consist. That's what you have in your Bibles, right? In other words, Christ is the one who holds the universe in place, meaning he is the initiator of all the universal principles. Not just the creator of systems, but the laws who hold that hold those systems in place. Can you fathom the work that takes? Can you fathom how busy Christ really is? Yet he had the power to be able to come down to this world and become a human, to live a perfect life, and then die a perfect death, that we might be redeemed, ascend to heaven once again, and take back the rightful place that he had laid down. Friends, that is powerful. The one who set the universe in place, the one who established the universal principles to hold everything in place, the one in whom all things consist, because he's the one who set the laws up that makes to make sure that they are held together. That one was the one who became man. Friends, this is so powerful because it reveals, and that reveals to us how powerful the Father is. It reveals that the Father and the Son, they have the same power, they have the same status, but they have different roles. Do you see it? Because God the Father, yes, he is creator, but we're seeing the way that he creates now. The instrumentality through which he creates is his word. This is why inspiration tells us, I believe in the book of Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 1, that Christ is the thoughts of God expressed. Why? Because he is the one in the Godhead that plays the role of bringing into existence all that is in the Father's heart. All that is in the Father's thoughts are Christ's thoughts. Friends, not because Christ is somehow latching onto him for life and for the ability to think. No, as I mentioned in the presentation last week, it is because they are one. But while the Father, in a sense, is the gardener, that is the orchestrator, Christ is the executioner, in a sense. He is the one who brings the worlds into existence. He is the one who brings the laws that him and the Father discussed in their relationship into existence. He sets the laws and the principles and principalities in place. Friends, I pray that this is making sense. This is so powerful, friends. And this is John chapter 1. And this is why now, the Father and him, they could share similar titles at times in Scripture. That's why they can share these titles together, because they share the same Godhead, right? Now, I'm going to read to us a statement here. This is in Revelation chapter 1. It's powerful. It says here in Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Now look at this. The whole Godhead is mentioned here between verses 4 and 5. It says, grace be unto you and peace from him. Look at what it says about this him. Which was, and which is to come. That's the Father. Then it says, and from the seven spirits. That's the Holy Spirit. Seven in the Bible is a number of perfection, symbolizing perfection. In other words, there are seven principles and concepts connected to the Holy Spirit that makes him the all-powerful Spirit, that makes him the perfect third person of the Godhead. And we'll touch at that in another point. But then it says, which is before his, which are before his throne, and from, look at this next part, and from Jesus Christ. So you see it? So we see him which is and which was and which is to come, the Father. From the complete or perfect Spirit. That's the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. That's the second person of the Godhead. So we see all three members of the Godhead in verses 4 and 5. Now I want you to look at this, right? We skip down to verse 7. Notice what it says in verse 7. Behold, he come with clouds, speaking of Christ, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Then notice, some of your Bibles, if you're reading this, the words are in red. And notice what it says here. Speaking of Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. It says, I am Alpha, that is, the beginning and the end. The beginning and the ending. So he says, I'm Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and the end. But just in case there are many who don't understand the Greek, what that means, he then says, the beginning and the ending, which is what Alpha and Omega means, saying, saith the Lord. And now notice what Christ says about himself. Notice this, powerful. Which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Do you see that? So Christ takes a title that is attributed, we just read it in verse 4, that is attributed to the Father and applies it to himself. Not just the title of Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending, but also the title of which is and which was and which is to come. That's a title of the Father, yet it is ascribed to Christ. But not just the title which is and which was and which is to come, but then it says, the Almighty. Do you see that? Because there are some Seventh-day Adventists today who are buying into this anti-Trinitarian concept. And I get it that there's a desire to come away completely from the influence of Catholicism. But friends, remember, Catholicism is dangerous because it is a mixture. The most powerful lie are powerful because they are not only lies, but friends, they are a mixture of truth and lies. Those are the most powerful lies, the ones that are commingled with the truth. So yes, if you want to come away from the Catholic concept of the Trinity, fine. But friends, there is a biblical concept of the Trinity, of the three. And notice what I'm going to say, not three in one, but three yet one. And I explained what that meant last week. One in purpose, one in character, and one in nature, right? Now notice what Jesus says here, because there are many in the, and the reason I brought up the non-Trinitarian movement is because there are many who are seeing in that movement that Jesus is not almighty. He may be mighty, but he's not Almighty God. But according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus calls himself the Almighty God. John lays out the words here. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus speaking. So Jesus is not just mighty, but like his Father, he is also Almighty God. This is the beauty of Adventism, friends, because it sets Jesus up in the place where he should be, and that is at the highest place. Hence, friends, Christ is also Almighty God. Friends, this is crucial for us to understand. The Christology, meaning the study of Christ, in Adventism is at its highest. Christ shares the titles of the Father. Certain titles they don't share, like the Father has the title Ancient of Days. Christ doesn't have that title. But many of the other titles that the Father has, Christ possesses. And we'll see here, we'll read some statements from the spirit of prophecy now to only re-echo these statements. Now, this is found in Special Testimony Series B, number 7. If you're getting hung up on the word Trinity, all right, here's a phrase that you can use. It says here, the comforter that Christ promised to send after he ascended to heaven is the Spirit, look at this, in all the fullness of the Godhead. We're going to come to that at another presentation, but we're still talking about Christ here. He comes for what? What purpose? Making manifest the power of divine grace to all who receive and believe in Christ as personal Savior. Now, here's the title. If you want a title, if you don't like the title Trinity, you can use this title. There are three living persons of the heavenly trio. That's basically a Trinity, friends. There are three living persons of the heavenly trio, but this is in accordance not with Catholic theology, but with Bible theology and the spirit of prophecy, which only amplifies the Bible itself. There are three living persons of the what? The heavenly trio. At another point, I'll give you another title that you can use, that she uses. There are three living persons in the heavenly trio. In the name of these three great powers, who are they? She states, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those who receive Christ by living faith are baptized. And these powers will cooperate with the obedient subjects of heaven in their effort to live the new life in Christ. Friends, that's so amazing. Do you see why it's harder to be lost and it's easier to be saved? It may not feel like that, but do you see why it is easier to be saved? Because friends, it is not just the Son who is working for you, but notice the statement that Ellen White states. She says, and these powers, speaking of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, will cooperate with the obedient subjects of heaven in their efforts to live the new life in Christ. In other words, how much power do you have on your side when you are making an effort, a genuine effort, to live the new life of Christ? You have the power of the entire Godhead at your disposal. How can men and women be lost? Friends, it is a mystery. I mean, truly it is not. Of course, especially if one knows the truth and they decide to go against it. But friends, it is stunning that if we are lost, it will be stunning, friends. Why? Because all the power of the Godhead is at our disposal for us to live the new life. God is willing, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is willing to work in harmony with us. Friends, how could we lose unless we choose to be lost? May we choose to work in harmony with God. May we ask Him, Lord, give me a heart to work with you. I know my heart is wicked, desperately, but Lord, regenerate my heart. Help me to live the life of Jesus. Help me to receive all the help you want to bring me through your word, through providence, through other people. Help me that I may cooperate with the heavenly trio, or as sometimes Ellen White calls them, the three heavenly dignitaries. Help me to work with them that I may be saved. Now, the statement continues. This is in the book Evangelism, by the way, chapter 148. The original place is Special Testimony Series B, number 7, pages 62 and 63. But the next statements I'm about to read to you are in the Signs of the Times, August 29th. 1900. And friends, you could be sure that in that time, some of these statements shocked some of our pioneers, because they were only beginning, as light was unfolding, they were beginning to understand how great Christ truly was. Because some of them were coming from backgrounds such as the Christian Connection. And of course, their main battle was against modalism, this idea of three in one, meaning that it's one God, literally, but he's manifested in three persons, right?
So sometimes you may see him pop up here manifested as the Father. Another time you may see him manifested as the Son. But it's just really one person manifesting themselves three ways. But the Bible doesn't teach that. And this is what many of our pioneers were fighting against. But they still had a ways to go in understanding Christ and how great he truly was. This is why our movement, the Seventh-day Adventist movement, according to our pioneers themselves and Ellen White, is a progressive movement. In other words, it is advancing in the light. It understands that all the light is not revealed at once. But as time unfolded, they realized, whoa, Christ is greater than we ever imagined. How great? Listen to this statement. Christ is the pre-existent. All right? Okay, we understood that from last week, not just pre-existent, but he has existed from all eternity, we read last week. But notice what she says here. This is how we know it's not one person manifesting in three persons, but it's actually three separate persons. How do we know? She states this, Christ is the pre-existent. Notice these next words, self-existent Son of God. In speaking of his pre-existence, Christ carries the mind back through dateless ages. That means you cannot put a date on when he began to exist. He assures us that there never was a time when he was not. Now notice this, in close fellowship with the eternal God. Do you see why it says in John now, the word was with God? In fellowship meaning, in relationship. There never was a time when he wasn't in relationship with God. That means he has no beginning, friends. He to whose voice the Jews were then listening had been with God, and we read this last week, as one brought up with him. Oh, wow. In other words, they grew up together. Do you see that? What child can say of their parents that we grew up together? Friends, it is an impossibility. Now, it is true that in light of the sinful world that we live in, heinous things happen where sometimes children have children. Wicked things like that happen. And in that sense, yes, they grow up sometimes together. But this is not the sense that is being relayed here. It is the idea that both of them are of the same age. They grew up together. And friends, you know the age of the Father, right? The age of the Father. There's no age, friends. There's no age. Because the Father, there was never a time when the Father was not. There was never a time when the Father came into existence. Therefore, friends, if it gives the same language to Christ, that there was never a time when he was not, and that he is as one brought up with God, then that means, friends, there is no beginning for him. Now, look at what it then says here. He, Christ, was equal with God, infinite and omnipotent, that is, almighty, all power, friends. He is the eternal, now here it is, self-existent. There's that word again. He is the eternal self-existent Son. Do you see that? Friends, the reason that this is so important is because it reveals. The reason she uses the word self-existent, which began to stun many people in her day, is because it is indicating, she is revealing very plainly and explicitly that Christ is not dependent on the Father for his existence. That was radical. Christ is not dependent on the Father for his existence. This is crucial. Because in many movements that are rising in Adventism today, it gives that idea. They're trying to give the idea that Christ is dependent on the Father for life. It is true that when he came to our world in human flesh, he depended on his Father because he was operating as every human must operate in the great controversy because he was a human, fully God yet fully human, yet not using his divinity for his advantage. He had to depend on the Father as every human does in the controversy. But friends, before
in his pre-existent stage, friends, he was self-existent. No dependency was needed. But yet in his role in the plan of redemption, he was ever subservient to the Father's will. This is why he is called the Eternal Son. Because friends, like I was mentioning to a friend of mine the other day, the thoughts of God concerning the plan of redemption, the thought, Ellen White says, the plan of redemption was not an afterthought. In other words, God didn't just try to think it up one day as he probably tried to look into the future and saw, oh, there's a conflict coming. Let's make something, or let's make up a plan to help man when this happens, or let's say when Adam and Eve fell, after they fell, God said, oh man, we got to make up a plan now if we want to save them. No, friends. The plan of redemption was not an afterthought, but it existed from eternity. Because remember whose mind it came from. God knows all things in all of its phases and at all stages. This is why it's so powerful, friends. God is on another level than any creation. He is not created. And this is how powerful he is. This is what I mean. God is infinite in his scope of thought. What I mean by that is that God, how can I put it? God does not come up with things. Friends, this is very this is vital. He does not come up with things. He sees all things at once. This is why he is called omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, meaning he can exist in all phases at once. He is aware of all phases, past, present, and future. All powerful, that is omnipotent, that is omnipotent, and omniscient, that is all knowing. That means he is aware of everything at once. That's why the plan of redemption is eternal in its nature. It's not an afterthought. And for it to be eternal, it is as old as God himself. Why? Because, friends, God does not learn, you see. He does not learn. Why? Why am I saying that? Because, friends, he has all knowledge. He has all knowledge. You and I in our human existence as a creation, we have to learn. We have to grow. Things are continually unfolding before us. Even in the context of eternity, things will continue to unfold. But for God, there is no learning because he is omniscient. That means he knows all things at once. He is aware of it. And that's why, knowing all things at once, he had a plan from all eternity. He had the plan already laid out. How far back? Dateless. You cannot put a date on it. He knew it was coming. As long as his existence was, which is eternal, eternity past, he already understood clearly. Friends, and that is something that our minds cannot grapple. It cannot grapple with. It cannot grasp. But friends, this is what the Bible is teaching. And so in the context of the plan of redemption, this is why Christ, even before he came to this world, he is called the eternal son of the covenant. Not that he is a son, like a son is born to a father in this world, but he is a son in the sense that in the plan of redemption, ordained from a past in the mind of God, that Christ chose the role of being the one who will execute the Father's wishes. And the Spirit chose the role to, while being one who stands in the background, who is not at the forefront, he chooses to cooperate with the Father and the Son in also bringing about the work that they have planned in redeeming creation itself. Friends, this is something that is so amazing because it reveals to us that we are studying a being that we cannot truly and fully grasp. This is why it takes eternity. This is why eternal life is given to the saints, because it will take eternity to grasp a God that is beyond all human conception. This is why John Calvin compares the Bible to being the Goo Goo Gaga of God. What do I mean by that as we close? It is the concept that as a parent communicates to a child, as they hold that little baby, newly born, they go forth with it from the hospital and they begin to speak to it. They don't speak to that baby, friends, like they would speak to a person on their own level. They speak to that child in a language sometimes, as we see it in certain places, we see them speaking to them in a lower form. In a lower form to show through expression and through certain words that may be on a lower level to give this baby a conception of what their minds could grasp because it is so small. And that's what the Bible is. The Bible is God condescending to men in their own language to communicate to them eternal realities. This is why, as we're studying the Godhead of Christ, it is something that we can grasp, but only to a certain extent. Some of the things, many of them, we will have to receive by faith. One of them being, Christ does not depend on the Father for his existence. Hence he said, I can lay my life down, and I can pick it back up again. I have this authority from the Father. In the context of being a man, I have this power. So if that made sense, friends, let's pray as we close. Father in heaven, I pray that these things made sense. I pray, O God, that, Lord, what we can grasp on this side of eternity, help us to grasp it. That as we look at the exalted Godhead of Jesus, the Almighty God, and that our hearts may rejoice in adoration and praise. Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing this message for us tonight on God the Father and the Son. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we learn that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one in purpose, but they are three persons, praise God. You know, when we think about it, brothers and sisters, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and as I always speak about, the Holy Spirit says you can offend him, and they call it a him. So as we know, as it says, he could be offended. Well, we know who could be offended. We are offended as a person. Anything that's not a person, you can't offend it. Okay? So I praise God for Brother Akeem bringing this message, because we are being taught these days, and even Sister Tamika was asking me about, it's in the lesson, in the Sabbath school lesson, Sister Tamika, you don't mind me saying it, but she was asking me about that, the Trinity, and she said, well, I didn't think they taught that Trinity, because, you know, she is Jehovah's Witness, and they never believed in Trinity. So I was just sharing with her, Sister Tamika, am I telling the right? Is it right or not?
Oh, yes, you're right. We never believe in the Trinity. That's correct, my sister.
Okay. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to make sure I'm right, and I'm not saying something wrong. But anyway, I was just sharing with her that, you know, because at one time I was having conversation with a Jehovah's Witness myself in another state, in another city, not in Baton Rouge, but in another city. And she wanted to tell me that, you know, that the Son is not connected to the Father, but Jesus was Joshua or something, and that they don't agree with the Holy Spirit, Father. I don't know. It's some kind of way. They don't agree with that three. So I was in agreement, because, first of all, Jesus tells us, he said, We must come through him, through the Father. And then he said, I will send the Holy Spirit out. He said, because if I don't go away, he said, the Holy Ghost cannot come to you. So he sent the Holy Ghost. And you know what? He said, the Spirit will lead you and guide you. So how much that is so simple to understand, so easy to understand. And I got that from a child. So I always pray, Father, let your Holy Spirit lead me and guide me, take care of us, even as we pray tonight for Brother O'Neill. Father, allow your Holy Spirit to protect him and to send your Holy Spirit to not protect him, to lead and guide him. Because, you know, we know that God sent out his holy angels and his holy angels, because the Bible tells us we have an angel that speak to us, talk to us, and you know that angel protect us. And I thank God for that, because I done been in position when I had to turn a different direction, but that Spirit was speaking to me, no, go straight. And let me tell you something, then that car rammed me. And I said, oh, I was so upset because it cost me that I went that direction and made the wrong choice by not listening to the Holy Spirit. So I just want to praise God for learning and getting this. And I'm hoping I had it all right by God's grace. So I just want to thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing us this message. And if I had anything wrong, please tell me, because Sister Leola is learning. And by God's grace, I want to learn everything and understand everything I need to understand. Amen? So if there's anything, because Sister Tamika was asking that question. So Sister Tamika, you ask your question for yourself right quick. Amen?
Yes, amen. Amen. Yes, as growing up as a Jehovah's Witness, my mother always told me we're not to believe in the Trinity, and that's what they were taught. So as Brother Akeem brought out, I wrote it down, that we don't have to say that it's a Trinity. You can say a different word. You can word it differently, and you can say there are three living persons in the heavenly three O's. So,
yes,
you know, that's what I would say, because, you know, I never believed in a Trinity either. So that's a better word to rephrase it. And, you know, it's just good to know, so that, you know, if I have to explain it to someone else, I wrote down all the scriptures, praise God, that I will be able to share this with someone else. And hopefully I'll be able to share with my mom, you know, and to let her know what we learned here tonight. So I thank you for the information.
All right, then. Well,
amen.
Okay, well, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you for being here tonight with us and sharing your testimonies and your prayers and all the information Brother O'Neill shared with us. Yeah, and Brother Akeem, Brother O'Neill was sharing with us, there's a brother that came from Amish, and the brother that came from Amish, he gave us a website, and I will send it to you, the website that he's teaching how to can, how to, he lived off of the grid. He lived off the grid for 30 years, I believe, Brother Akeem, Brother O'Neill said. He lived off the grid, and he's teaching. He's giving lessons.
Was
so, Brother O'Neill, you can explain it.
Born off the grid. Hello?
Say it again.
Hello? He was born.
We can hear
He was born off the grid.
Go ahead.
He was born off the grid. Are you hearing me clear?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. He was born
you,
off
O'Neill.
The grid.
Oh, okay.
Yes, all his life he has been living off the grid. So he's teaching how people could use the wood stove to cook food and all that, and he have all the information. He don't have a website yet, but he has been doing some Zoom presentation. So we got him to do three presentations. And for us, so he done one last Thursday. He has two more, one Monday coming and the next one next week Thursday. Next Thursday. Yeah, so
wow.
That's been so informative. A lot of people have been blessed. And this man, people ask him, how much you're charging to do this presentation? He says, all I'm trying to do is to get people ready for what is to come. That's all I'm trying to do. I don't need anything. All I need to do is to share the scripture passages, you share the spirit of prophecy, you know? And he says, people just need to get out of cities and start doing what they need to do, simple lifestyle, you know? As Amish grew up, you know? They never lived and depend on the system. And now what he's doing is a presentation when there is no by ourselves, you know? What we gonna do? Suppose the lights, suppose they turn off the switch in our apartments and all that. Turn off the water, what we do. So he's shown practical ways how people can survive and not live and depend on the system. Because there are many, many, many don't know how not to live off the system. You know, so it's very profound what has been shared. You know, and I want to thank God for that. I send the link to you, Sister Leola. You can share it with the person as well. So tomorrow we will be hosting him again on that Zoom platform again. Because I spoke to him personally and I asked if he could come and share, and he said yes, no problem. So it's been a blessing to all of us that it's been. And I want to thank you for your prayers, Sister Leola. God is favoring me because while I'm coming, I see so much accident on the road, and I'm still going by the grace of God. I have so much accident, so much car run off the road, car run into the guardrail, and you know, but God is keeping me, you know. So I want to thank you all for your prayers. Yeah, very slippery right now, but taking my time, and you know, the angels of God is carrying.
Amen. And one more, Brother Akeem. Brother Eli wants to say something. So, Brother Eli, be brief now.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, I have a question for Brother Akeem James. How come the others are not respecting one another? Because, Sister Miola, you remember when I mentioned that on the prayer line, on the tried and true line yesterday, I say, how come the others are not, not respecting respecting one another and not loving one another? And Brother King, that is my question, because people, you know, some people, just like Sister Miola say, I have to pray for them, and Sister Miola say to pray for them, keep moving, keep hold on to the Lord and fix my eyes up on Jesus. And Brother Akeem, I would like to thank you for praying for me. I would like to thank Sister Tamiko and Sister Miola to praying for me. And Brother Akeem, I wish Sister Tamiko would come preach on the prayer line. I hope she's not shy on this prayer line, Sister Miola. I'm praying that the Lord will make Sister Tamiko come preach on the prayer line.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Eli, listen, we don't want to keep Pastor Brother Akeem too long, so we're just going to let him answer your question, and then he's going to get off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can just answer his question if you can.
Okay, and that was that, the why are the elders, it was specifically the elders, right?
No, he's just saying people, why people.
People
and people. I guess it's young folks, your youth.
Why they're not
why they're not being respectful to one another. And some of his youth be telling them they hate him, they stick fingers at him, they just rude, you know. Just answer that for him if you don't mind.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if that is happening, I do not know them, but if that is truly happening, when it comes to the youth of today, a lot of times we don't necessarily have Christ moving and working in our hearts. And usually a lot of times people, when they operate certain ways, it's because they themselves are sometimes either facing that, or it always usually leads back to the home and not being trained to love others, mm-hmm. to be one with Christ, and also mm-hmm. to manifest mm-hmm. that love in being one with Christ to other people. And so hence, the respect level is deteriorating, not just within society, but within the church. Why? Because to a great degree, it is being lost in the home. And so if that is what you're taught, then that is what you'll do. And if you're taught also to, even if you're not taught those things, but you're not taught to be singular and independent, many times because of peer pressure, people follow along in making fun of others rather than standing out and saying no. So it's something we have to pray for them concerning. And also, I mean, take certain steps that if we see that, to say, hey, what you're doing to me is not right. And also that when it happens, to tell an adult, to tell someone who's in charge, if it's a church, that, hey, this is what is happening. Because it's not just within secular society, but within our church, because the world is creeping into the church, this mindset of bullying, of being condescending, has long been entering the church. But I realize sometimes the solution to that is not just prayer. Prayer is first and foremost, but it's also to tell leadership if those things are happening.
Yes, yes. And that's right, brother. So, Brother Eli, I hope you got your answer, because it, just as you are concerned, you went to your leaders to tell them what was going on, and that's all you can do, and just leave it to God in prayer. Amen. So now, brothers and sisters, we're going to close out, and may God bless each and every one, and especially God take care of us tonight. Amen. So good night, my brother, and God bless. I'm not going to play a song. I'm going to let everybody go. You have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
God bless you, too.